Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 31. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Matthew 14:26-31. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Faith is a favorite subject in Christian circles. It has a genie of the lamp quality to it that's hard to resist. If it works, it's as though one has broken through and becomes special in the eyes of the Father of Lights, or has been deemed worthy of gifts from God. If it doesn't work, one can always claim that the lamp wasn't rubbed correctly to keep the legend intact. Keeping the legend going is easy to do and requires only superstition to keep it alive in most circles of faith. It has a gaming or lottery feel to it, and the mystery sells it over and over again. You're so close. You just need to buy this book or go to this church or join this group and it'll all come together for you. Don't give up. It may just be this time you'll get lucky. If I sound cynical, you're correct, for the injustices and the superstitions in faith teaching abound. Sold as magic, practiced like sleight of hand, used in self-promotion, the charlatans peddle faith like snake oil elixir to Christians who've lost the joy of their newfound life in Christ. The luster of holiness and a soul free from sin is gradually replaced with self-centered magic act. We're convinced that miracles prove a solid relationship to God. Our position in the family of God is special and is evidenced by the power He uses on our behalf. This kind of faith takes a person farther and farther from Thy will be done and eventually tosses the practitioner into despair as inevitable failure undeniably presents itself. No lasting good comes from forsaking the pursuit of holiness or waging the battle of self-promotion. Nothing except despair awaits the one who bends God's arm and demands that he do as he wishes. We're better off to forsake what we've been taught by these men who are no less than mountebanks and rediscover the faith in the Scriptures and how to receive from God. All that being said, we must not impose our preconceptions onto the story of Jesus bidding Peter to walk on the water. This was not a magic lesson. This was a story of a man, any man, compelled and called by Christ, and how these ingredients can make that calling a prelude to the miraculous. When we're called of Christ to do the impossible, or the unusual, or even when we're called to do the customary, we may doubt and cause ourselves to fail. When we do, Christ gives us a question to get us back on track. Why did you doubt? For Peter, the answer was that he looked about him and saw the storm. Usually what makes us doubt is just raw fear and is not based in reason. Though reason can cause one to doubt, especially when accomplishing what is well above one's ability, this was not the case in Peter's sinking. When he saw the wind and the waves, he doubted. What is the weather to do with walking on the water? Could one walk on the water if it were still enough? Could one step out of his boat into the sea if there was no wind? Peter's proximity had something to do with his doubt as well. This happened when he looked around. When he looked about, what did he see? He saw the wind and the waves. but more so, he saw that he was between his boat and his Savior. He had left one for the other, and now was without either. This moment in time is a dramatic representation of where we are as Christians. We, who have given up our way and our abilities, are now come to Jesus on the water, so to speak, find that we've not quite reached our destination where safety is assured, nor have we the support of our previous life of which we were full in charge. This can be overwhelming for those who look about them. Some choose not to look. Some trust Christ when they start to sink and are saved. Some, I really believe, try to make it back to their boat. But they do not walk back. They swim. Peter, in this instance, was not to be blamed for having no faith. Jesus did not chide him for having no faith, but for doubting. Like a father reaching for the tottering bicycle while teaching his child to ride, Jesus asked, "Why did you doubt? You were doing fine." Sometimes we criticize Peter for his little faith, causing him to sink and elevate this event of walking on water to an act of deity alone. But consider for a moment that Peter did walk on the water. Even with his, quote, little faith that some impugn, he did walk on the water. An enterprise I would not recommend to the greatest men of faith I know. Jesus is good to us. He stands waiting for his called ones to step out of the boat. He waits for us to walk, and when he sees us look around, he starts toward us, knowing we're going to need him shortly. Like a friend, not a judge, Jesus asks, "Why did you doubt?" Is it not a great comfort to know Christ is there when you fail, and that he encourages you to continue and loves you through it all? He gives you the key to regain your position and footing when you start to sink. "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Or, "Why did you doubt?" If you can determine the cause of your doubt, you can find the root of your hindrance to faith. Perhaps you're just used to being in control. Maybe you know that what you want in life is not the will of God, and therefore you're sure that you can't rely on him to accomplish it. Whatever the cause, you can at any time forsake it, look into the face of Jesus, and cry out, "Save me." You can feel the iron grip of his hand around yours, and setting your feet on what feels to be concrete to you, that appears to be water to everyone else, and continue the mission of faith. Failures, setbacks, or just the stagnant and non-productive life in the boat can be overcome. Look past the seas rising and falling, brave the wind and spray in your face, and see Christ out there standing still on the water. If he says to you, "Come," you should go, no matter if you die in the attempt. Remember that life is not a sink or swim proposition. In Christ, we have another option. On the ocean of life, in Christ, it's sink, swim, or walk. Many of us have many reasons to doubt. Honest self-evaluation will reveal to you your needs and weaknesses. You'll come to an understanding of your flaws and overcome them. You can rise above your own fears only when you keep your eyes on your Savior and fear only things that he says are dangerous. With faith in him to keep you afloat, you can walk upon the infirm water to the destination to which you're called. Called to do the impossible, and faith in your heart fully ablaze, you obey, you walk. It's only doubt that will sink you. Perhaps you spend too much time examining your faith and neglect to examine your doubt. Your doubts will reveal the weaknesses heretofore obscured by the busyness of your life. Time spent in solitude, meditation, and silence will facilitate your search. Set aside some time to examine the failures in your life. Let Christ show you clearly where and why you doubted, where and why you started to sink. It's then that you'll walk as you're commanded. If walking is difficult or your steps seem insecure, cry out to the Savior, "Save me." While you're being called and His hand draws you out of the cold sea, perhaps even for a third or fourth time, and made to stand again, learn from your sinking. Don't be discouraged. Hear Jesus' question and consider, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?"
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.